In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Oh, good grief, there's a phone ringing.
Father Simon says,
oh, the usual precision attention to details that is me.
Kathy, what can I do for you?
Hi, Father Simon. I've been meaning to call for the last month, but are fantastic. You are the best kept secret of Relevant Radio.
Oh, I imagine I'm like the crazy old uncle you hope stays on the second floor when you have company. Yes.
I want to let you know because of you, I went back to confession.
Oh, praise God.
I feel much better.
Oh, praise God.
I went back to confession again, and I want to thank you because you just inspired me. Relevant Radio has gotten me through this the COVID, and...
There's a lot to get through these days, isn't there?
Father Simon Says.
You know, I read the end of the book. We win.
1 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is my first time listening to the station. I believe God led me to the station because yesterday on my way home from work, I was behind a car that had a bumper sticker with this station on it. And I was thinking this morning, you know what? I should listen to this radio station, and I'm glad I did.
You just heard a call from Dustin in Sacramento who saw a bumper sticker. He was in traffic, formerly a Wicca practitioner, and by his own admission, feeling estranged from God, and so he's being drawn to the Catholic Church that he never knew. Think about that. Think about Dustin and all the Dustins who are out there in traffic, for example, glancing around. They see a Relevant Radio bumper sticker. Huh, what's that? They tune in. Oh, this is interesting. I never heard anything like this before. Next thing you know, he's drawn to the Catholic Church, wants to know more. Doesn't that excite you?
Don't have a Relevant Radio bumper sticker? Request one. It's removable.
Click on the support tab at relevantradio.com.
Our First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And we are seeing that today.
They didn't want the state telling you how you could or could not practice your faith.
Each of us has a right to be who we are before God. It's a classical statement of religious liberty that
man is not free unless he is free on the inside.
So we have to have the freedom to believe what we believe. And that's what the First Amendment says. You know, Thomas Jefferson was talking about this very point when he wrote that letter. And he used the very famous statement that has now been used over and over again, the wall of separation. And he said that the First Amendment had erected a wall of separation that would protect them
from any intrusion of government.
in Jefferson's mind, the wall of separation was the unidirectional wall. It was put there to keep the government out of the church, not to keep the influence of the church out of government. And that's where we have gotten it wrong.
A look at the news and issues of the day through the eyes of our faith. The Drew Mariani Show, 2 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
If you're just tuning in now and you're in your car and you're wondering what on earth is going on here, it's just a bunch of crazy happy Catholics who get together in the evening.
Pray the rosary? If you haven't experienced the family rosary across America yet, round up your family in front of the TV at 7 p.m. Central and stream the family rosary across America from Relevant Radio.
I would like to pray for my aunt.
I'd like to pray for my nephew.
I would like to pray for this little child that's been given limited days to live.
Do you believe in miracles, Luke?
Oh, yeah.
So do I, and that's what we're going to pray for. Sounds like you come from a good family. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have 5 brothers and 1 sister.
Holy smokes. Nice. Your parents must be saints.
Yeah.
Spend half an hour with Jesus, His Blessed Mother Mary, and families from coast to coast. The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio. Video stream on the Relevant Radio app and at relevantradio.com.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. It's truth, hope, and a look at life you won't get anywhere else.
It's 14 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today and taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We've still got a lot of great show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about COVID-19 in the next half hour with Dr. Barbara Golder. We're going to be talking about the venerable Aloysius Schwartz, and I'm hoping I'm getting this right. Kevin Wells has a new book out called Priest and Beggar. We're going to talk about that and much, much more. But right now we're going to talk about something that maybe we have forgotten how to do, which is to get together and have conferences and talk about important things. There is going to be a pro-life women's conference that is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Here to discuss that with us is Pamela Whitehead. She runs a project called Loveline, which is an offshoot of Pro-Love Ministries, founded by Abby Johnson. You can find them at loveline.com. She's also heading up a women's conference on pro-life issues at the end of the month, which you can find online at prolifewomen.com. And Pam, welcome to the show.
Hi, Ed. Thank you so much for having me.
You know, I have to tell you, it's almost weird talking about conferences, going to conferences again. I mean, it's been a major part of my life for, you know, quite a few years, and then all of a sudden we all stopped doing this. How different is it going to be to get everybody back in the same room and talking about these very important issues?
Oh gosh, we are so excited. We had to forgo our conference last year. We were given the option, you know, to do it online. But part of the beauty of our conference is the community that gets built among the women who are in the pro-life movement or seeking to even get involved in some way. And so being able to meet this year and gather as our community, we're way excited.
And look, I mean, Zoom and you know, GoToMeeting and all those different tools are wonderful when you don't have anything else. There is nothing that beats fellowship, though. And it's, I mean, we're all facing the same thing going back to churches now too, going back to Mass, and realizing what it is that we've been missing. But at prolifewomen.com, you can go to the website and it says right there, "Hello, Memphis." Two women smiling. I just find this to be so exciting, Pam. This is on June 25th through the 27th at the, is it Renaissance Convention Center? I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
That's correct. Yes, it's at the Renaissance Convention Center. And we are already at 650 attendees. So we're really excited. Our hope was to be able to get to 1,000, but in the beginning, when we were prepping for the conference, we weren't sure what the mandates and, you know, regulations were going to be. So we've done our best to abide by everything along the way. The women are just pumped. I mean, they cannot wait to get together and hear from our speakers. One of the most beautiful things that happens at this conference is a lot of women find healing. Last our last conference we had was in New Orleans, and at the end of our healing after abortion panel, we asked the audience if any of you feel like you want to stand up and admit that you've ever been involved in or been impacted by an abortion decision in your life, would you raise your hand? And half the room stood up. Half the room. And that was a room full of pro-life women. So, you know, there's nothing like this. It's for women and it's by women. It's run by women, women speakers. It's just a very safe space for us to talk about the issues that, that face us. And we feel comfortable getting together and healing together.
And there's going to be some great speakers coming out for this. You've got this up on here. You got Abby Johnson, of course, who is just a stalwart of these conventions, of supporting the pro-life movement. There are some great topics in here. Cynthia Wood, Feminist for Life of America, is going to be talking about sexual harassment being a pro-life issue and a question of worth. This isn't all about one issue here. This is a very the scope of this is quite different than I think a lot of people are going to imagine it to be.
It really is. Our whole goal is to reclaim the narrative of women's empowerment, and that's what this is about. You know, for so many years, the left has said that pro-life people are simply pro-birth, and we proved them wrong. Over and over and over again. You know, Loveline is one example of that. Pro-Love Ministries is an example of that. This conference, the Pro-Life Women's Conference, is an example of that. A couple of years ago, BuzzFeed came and did an article on our conference in Orlando or St. Louis. It was one of those locations. And, you know, they really couldn't bash us too much. You know, they found that we really were what we said we were.
Right. What you see is what you get, right? I mean,
that's right.
That's the nice thing about this. All right, so you're already up to 650 people that are signed up for this. I'm imagining that there's still plenty of room for people to sign up, though, right? I mean, what's the how long do they have to make up their minds about whether or not they're going to go to this? And you know, what is it that how do you sign up for it?
Well, today they can still sign up for $124. That covers 3 days. It doesn't
wow.
cover accommodations and travel, but it does cover the three-day conference, and that includes three meals. So that's dinner on Friday and then lunch on Saturday and Sunday as well. We keep our conference the registration costs low because our sponsors are so generous and our speakers
right.
are so generous. They believe in these women, and we want to serve them. So they can go to prolifewomen.com, and you can still register there for $124 today. I do believe that the price goes up over the weekend. So you want to get in now and get your accommodation settled and meet us in Memphis on June 25th through the 27th.
Well, yes, I mean, this is whatever you're doing these conferences, I can tell you this because I you know, like I said, I at least up until 2020, I went to at least three or four a year. You want to get your travel situation settled. At least you want it to be 3 weeks ahead of time. Obviously, now we're within about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's still not a bad time to get travel. If you wait until next week, you're going to be paying a premium for whatever travel that you're doing. You're going to be paying a premium for the hotel rooms as well. But, you want to get this thing settled in, and you can go to prolifewomen.com. To sign up for this. And again, you know, I mean, just from my experience from conferences, $124 for a 3-day conference is actually quite a bit on the low side.
Yeah, it's a steal. It really is a steal. And so, you know, they can also, if anyone has any questions, if they have any issues registering or they have questions about anything at all, they can email me, pam@prolove.com. That's pam@prolove.com, and I will answer any questions that they have. I am happy to help them in any way that I can. So,
and again, that's sort of the whole idea of this Pro-Life Women's Conference is to help women as any way that you can, and there's all sorts of different ways. And you have to go through, I could spend all day talking about the speakers that are on here, some of whom I know, some of whom I don't know, but it's a great set of speakers, and it looks like you're going to have all sorts of different, are you going to have breakout panels, or is this mostly just main room type of speeches?
No, we do have a lot of breakouts, actually. We have four tracks for our breakouts this year.
Wow,
one
okay.
is a healing track. The other is a mother and daughter track. So we encourage women to bring their daughters and introduce them to the pro-life issues, the world of the pro-life women, and so they can grow up to be pro-life kids and pro-life women. And then we have an essentials track, so that is just the basics. So that's people who may not have been introduced to things like sidewalk advocacy or pregnancy centers, and so there's a track for that. And then there's, so I said, healing, mother-daughter, essentials, and policy. So we have a policy track. We've got Catherine Glenn Foster from Americans United for Life. We have Ann O'Connor from NIFLA. She's going to talk to us. Joshua McQueen from Embryo Defense. She's going to speak to us as well. So we've got a lineup of speakers that, and some women that you've probably never heard of and may have never known that they were even in the pro-life movement. So it's really an interesting gathering.
Very interesting gathering. Again, you can go to prolifewomen.com, prolifewomen.com. You can find out what the schedule is. There are links to accommodations. You're going to have to make those arrangements yourself, but they give you some ideas where you're going to be going there. There's even a poetry contest link, and I am not a poet, but I'm sure that there are plenty of women who are, and so I am definitely not a poet. But that sounds like fun. I mean, and again, it's not just going to a dry recitation of issues. This is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be joyful. It's supposed to be a gathering. It's supposed to be a community.
Oh yeah, I mean, we have a fashion show that opens up our conference. You know, from the only pro-life fashion design company, COL 1972, is Culture of Life 1972. They're opening our conference with a fashion show. It's really cool. It's going to be themed after the Tennessee, so it has like a country theme, so that's fun. We also, on Saturday night, we have a One Voice non-denominational prayer and worship service, and that's put on by Radiance Foundation. They do the same thing at the March for Life every year, before the March for Life, and so we ask them to come and do that for our conference as well, and we're so blessed that they're willing to do that and serve the ladies. We offer Mass on Sunday morning for our Catholic attendees, and on Friday night, we have two special things as well. We've got two awards that we're giving away for Pro-Life Woman of the Year and the Legacy Award as well, so you really don't want to miss it, and Abby Johnson's going to be there the whole weekend, so you get to hang and schmooze with her, so who wants to miss that? That's a lot of fun.
That's terrific, and Abby's terrific. We've had her on the show a number of times.
Yeah.
I've met her a few times in person. She's just wonderful. Pamela Whitehead, thank you so much for being with us. Go to prolifewomen.com, prolifewomen.com, to find out more about that conference. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
That new warning from President Biden about the Delta variant first seen in India, now the dominant strain of coronavirus in the UK and spreading rapidly among young people 12 to 20 years old. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying tonight, we cannot allow that to happen here. Dr. Fauci also warning Americans that a study in the UK shows that the Pfizer vaccine, for example, is only 33% effective against this troubling Delta variant after one dose, but that it's 88% effective after two doses of the vaccine, of course, underscoring the importance of both shots.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew and taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Don't forget that at 5 p.m. at the end of this show, Cale Clark joins us. He'll be talking about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, so be sure to stay tuned right here at Relevant Radio at 5 p.m. Central Time for the Cale Clark Show. The audio you just heard was from ABC News about the Delta variant. This is the variant that is coming out of India. This is the one that is spreading rapidly. It's the perhaps the most contagious variant of COVID-19. There's some bad news about this. There is some good news about this. And here to discuss both is Dr. Barbara Golder. She is a physician, attorney, bioethicist, award-winning author, and editor-in-chief chief of the bioethics journal Lineacre Quarterly. She's also the director of adult faith formation and evangelization at the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You can find her online at ladydoclawyer.com. Dr. Golder, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Now, am I pronouncing this correctly, Lineacre Quarterly, or is it Lineacre Quarterly?
It's Lineacre, but either works.
Well, now I know. And so I really appreciate you taking some time here. I know our audience is extremely interested in everything that has to do with COVID-19, the vaccines, and all of that. And there's a lot of news here. Some of it's very confusing, and some of it's good, some of it's not so great. Let's talk a little bit about the Delta variant. Now, they're using the Greek letters to identify variants rather than countries because there's a concern about stigmatization. But the Delta variant is the India variant that we've been hearing about in the past.
Exactly, and it's a good idea in time. The connection between the country and the designation Delta will disappear because it's going to become prominent across all countries, because
right, exactly.
that's what happens. So, but yeah, the Delta variant is the one that's currently causing so much trouble in India.
So this is both more transmissible and more serious. Is that true? It's more serious for people who are not fully vaccinated, I think, is really what and that's kind of the good news, because we have so many people who are vaccinated in the United States.
Exactly. It's clearly more transmissible. And because it's more transmissible, it means there will be more cases. And if there are more cases, there will be more serious cases. You know, that all follows together. Now, whether or not it's more serious as an individual infection remains to be seen, because the data from India can't really be applied directly to the United States because there's so many variables that are different.
Right.
But one thing that we are seeing, and we're seeing this in the UK, is we're seeing more serious infections in younger people, which is different, and something to be a little bit concerned about.
And Dr. Golder, I mean, one of the reasons why you're seeing this being so serious in India is because they were already their health services were already overwhelmed, and they just simply don't have the health care resources to meet the surge of the pandemic in their country. The UK is seeing more serious cases, as you mentioned. So we got some data there that might be a little bit more comparable to the United States. Their vaccination levels are fairly significant in the UK as well. They were actually really about to declare that they'd turn the corner on this and open things up fully. This has them at least discussing a pause on that. Is that going to create a sort of a similar situation here, or do you think that we've gotten far enough in vaccinations to where this is really just going to be part of the background as we are restoring normality here in the United States?
I think it remains to be seen. Certainly, our vaccination levels are nowhere near what they vaccination and immunity levels are nowhere near what they need to be to push this back into
right.
the background reliably. So it's something of a mystery how this is going to shake out. It is already in the United States. It's going to become a predominant strain in the United States simply because it's more transmissible, and it binds more firmly to the receptors in the nasal and oral mucosa. That may mean that it takes less of the virus to get you sick. I mean, there's all kinds of variables we don't know yet, but the reality is we're going to be facing this, and what it means in terms of our opening up and possibly pausing in our opening up really remains to see what happens with the numbers and the stress on our healthcare system, because we've learned we have to balance those things with all of the other issues that come with trying to manage this pandemic, like schooling and access to healthcare and access to services and, you know, the depression and all those kinds of things that were a secondary effect to some fairly effective things we did to manage the pandemic but still cause problems in themselves.
Exactly. And I think we have a better sense now. And certainly the vaccinations and the improvements in therapeutics that we've had over the past year have put us in a better position to where we can do those sorts of balancing tests. We know much more. We have more tools. There's more balancing to be done. And so that's the type of thing that we're going to need to watch. But right now, you know, the test results are showing declines across the country, for the most part, across the entire country. And vaccinations are slowing up, and we'd like them to be a little faster. We'd like to be doing more per day, but at least we are making progress there.
Oh, we are. We absolutely are. And I think you made a very important point. It's when we started this pandemic a little more than a year ago, we basically had nothing but supportive care to really offer. Now we've got all kinds of things. We know all kinds of things that we can do to help patients get through this if they do happen to get sick, or particularly if they get very sick. So I think that's important to remember. The numbers are holding steady, but they're beginning to see a bit of an uptake. Who knows whether that's just a little blip in the curve or whether we're beginning to see a real rise again. We'll just have to wait and see.
We are speaking with Dr. Barbara Golder about COVID-19. We've got a lot of different issues we're going to bring up in this half hour, but we'll take your calls as well at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you've got questions about this, please join the conversation. One of those therapeutics has been sort of in and out of favor here over the last year. It got politicized in a few different directions and was unfortunately sort of maligned for quite a while. Seems to be, however, back in the picture, and that's hydroxychloroquine combined with zinc. And there is now some clinical evidence that this is actually an effective therapeutic for people with seriously acute infections of COVID-19, not necessarily for people with milder infections or asymptomatic infections, but for the more seriously ill. This appears now to be at least somewhat effective, and apparently there's been a retraction of a Lancet story which had concluded the opposite. Maybe Dr. Golder, you can walk us through that.
Yeah, this is one of the problems with having science on display.
Right.
For everybody to see and sort of react to when, because this really happens with a lot of things. We get data a little bit here, a little bit there, and we begin to sort it out. The first studies were really just hydroxychloroquine by itself. And we've discovered since then, remember, this is in a year. This is a huge amount of information in a year. We've
right.
discovered it needs zinc and erythromycin is another ancillary drug that's often given to make it work well. We didn't know that at the beginning. So there's no particular surprise looking backwards that some of these studies showed hydroxychloroquine didn't work particularly well. The problem we have is that we had a lot of anecdotal evidence, physicians in practices saying, I've seen this, it works well, but it's all individualized, it's not systematic. We like to have systematic evaluation, and we're now at the point where we can do this. And the most recent study shows that hydroxychloroquine and zinc in very sick patients increases their likelihood of survival by like 3 times. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. And I think, you know, there's an old saying, Dr. Golder, that says people who love sausage and respect the law should never watch either one being made. I think we can extend that to say people who love sausage and rely on science maybe shouldn't be watching either one being made either.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Because it's a process. It's a long process. I mean, this is normally it would take years to do these types of studies. And because of the very, you know, obvious pressures of a pandemic, people were trying to get as much data as they possibly could. And normally there just isn't that much visibility to it. So we come after a few years, they say, well, this is what the conclusion of all of the data says. And we say, oh, okay, that sounds great. Instead, we sort of had a front row seat to this. And I think that the one thing that we can all learn is that we should never really have a front row seat to this process as it's ongoing.
Well, and particularly filtered through media. And this is not a slam on the media by any means, because, you know, it's just very difficult
right.
for people who are not trained in this and don't do it all the time to report it in such a way that's useful for the average guy on the street. It just is very hard. So I would agree with you on that one. I saw something today that said, you know, when science is in pursuit of the truth, and it is, so when they say something different than you heard before, it's not that they were lying before, it's that they learned more. And I think that's important to keep in mind. The first studies, for example, on the hydroxychloroquine said one thing, but we learned we needed to add a couple of things to it to make it work, and now we're saying something different because we learned something different.
Right. And I think that, again, there's a lot of pressure on people in an emergency to act, right? And so what you ended up having is you had this, because of this, you had this really, these disparate reactions by politicians to the hydroxychloroquine question, which was that you had some of them that were touting this as a miracle cure, which it clearly isn't, but it certainly could be an effective therapeutic. And then you had others who were saying, well, we're just going to ban the use of this because it's dangerous, when there wasn't any data that suggested that either. It was chalk this up as high up on the list of things we needed to learn from the process here.
I think that's true, and I think that's a very good way to put it. We learned that this should be left to the people on the ground taking care of the patients to decide how to do this.
Exactly.
You know, a governor or a president or, you know, a presidential candidate for that matter, doesn't really have access to the information that depends on making a decision for any individual patient. We can sort the rest of it out later with systematic studies. But we were at a time when in New York City they had refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals serving as, you know, makeshift morgues.
Right.
It was a serious situation. We were trying to do everything we could.
It was a catastrophe, and in a catastrophe, you try to reach out for any sort of comfort or certainty that you can find, and even if it's not a certainty, we tend to try to make them into that. It was a tragic situation, and hopefully, we've come out on the other end of this and are prepared now for the more nuanced scientific issues. We are talking with Dr. Barbara Golder about COVID-19. We're also taking your calls at 888-914-9149. Let's talk a little bit about the vaccines. You have some good news about the vaccines in terms of this Delta variant, first off. And you sort of mentioned this a little bit, but maybe we'll hit this a little bit more strongly. It looks like all of the different approved vaccines are effective against this Delta variant, but it's important to be fully vaccinated.
Exactly, and they're effective at a slightly lower level than the Alpha variant, the wild type, the original type, but not a whole lot. So they're still very, very effective, and there's still good reason to get them. There's kind of some interesting and exciting news. One of the problems we have with the vaccines that are around now is that they're injectable vaccines. And so they give us IgG immunity. That's just a way of saying immunity that's moderated by bloodstream antibodies. But this virus comes in through the nose and mouth, so it would be nice if we had antibodies in that area, and those antibodies are IgA. Well, some of the new vaccines, particularly the oral vaccines that are being developed, have the opportunity and have the potential to not only create IgG immunity, that is bloodstream immunity, but immunity in the mucosal surfaces. And that will help reduce transmission as well as reduce infection. And then there's kind of an extra bonus. There is one company that's developing a vaccine, not just to one protein on the virus. The spike protein is the one that we've used so far, but to two others as well. And that means that for a virus to escape, if you will, that vaccine's coverage, it would have to mutate all three different proteins, and that's very unlikely. So it's likely to be a vaccine that has broader use over longer time, because it will cover mutations better than the ones we have now.
Well, yes, and these are possibly going to be follow-ons that we're going to need to know about, even if we are fully vaccinated, because there's, of course, the question of how long the immunity lasts from a vaccination. But you've kind of got some good news on that as well, Dr. Barbara Golder.
It does look like we're going to have durable immunity, both from vaccination and from infection. And again, if you remember, at the beginning of this pandemic, we weren't sure about that. And there were cases of people getting infected a second time, remember, with COVID, and people were worried that the infection would not give you immunity. Well, what we found out since then is that not only do we have immunity, but the cells creating the immunity are ones that will be memory cells and be around for a long time. And that's really good news.
It's very good news. And again, it emphasizes, again, the importance of getting yourself vaccinated. And we've got three different vaccines here. We can talk maybe a little bit about the Johnson & Johnson issue after the break. I was vaccinated with Johnson & Johnson. That was what was available when my turn came up. That seems to be just as effective as the other vaccines and just as durable. But down the road, there might be better vaccines, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But again, just to emphasize, Dr. Golder, that's really the big strategy for curtailing this.
It really is. Vaccination is very important. It keeps people from getting the illness, keeps people from getting serious illness, and it helps prevent spread to other people. So, you know, it's a win-win-win.
It's a win-win-win, and again, this isn't nothing's perfect, but right now, if you're taking a look at the data, there doesn't seem to be even the expected level of breakthrough infections. We'll talk a little bit about that after the break. We're going to take a break and come back with some of your calls. We're speaking with Dr. Barbara Golder, physician, attorney, bioethicist, award-winning author, and editor-in-chief of the bioethics journal Lineker Quarterly. She's online at ladydoclawyer.com. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew Mariani. We'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. We pray, fight for our religious freedom, and we're not backing down. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's 49 minutes past the hour. I'm Ed Morrissey of HotAir.com, filling in for Drew today and taking your calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're speaking with Dr. Barbara Golder, physician, attorney, bioethicist, award-winning author and editor-in-chief of the bioethics journal Lineker Quarterly, and you can find her online at ladydoclawyer.com. And we've got a lot of calls, Dr. Golder, so let's go ahead and go to Joanne in Maine with the first question. Welcome to the show, Joanne.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Dr. Golder, thanks for being on the program. You're always such a great source of up-to-date information. I got the J&J vaccine. I've read nothing about the immunity that might be available for the Delta variant.
And I'm not sure I can help you with that. I looked for that today and was unable to find anything more than a general comment that anything with the spike protein, the mRNA vaccines were likely to have a similar sort of immunity. I see no particular reason that the J&J vaccine would be different, but I've not seen any evidence that that's been studied. And I think that's just an accident of it's not being studied. You know, they happened to look at these other two vaccines, which were AstraZeneca and Pfizer.
So not the Moderna either, but these are all spike protein vaccines. So presumably the immunity should act in a similar manner.
Well, the J&J vaccine, I think, is an adenovirus vaccine, but yeah, it should still do the same thing.
All right. Well, that's good information to know because, like I said, I got the J&J vaccine as well, so I'm glad to hear that. Let's go to Patricia in Reno. Welcome to the show.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. My question is about Holy Communion for the doctor. Whether I haven't returned back to Mass yet. I have elderly parents I take care of, and I just wondered if I guess my concern is just, is Holy Communion receiving the host from that hand-to-hand contact, would you consider that to be like a high-risk kind of action, especially after having the vaccine? Does the vaccine take care of that kind of action, not just through airborne, but hand, things that you put in your mouth?
If it's there. Yeah, there are a couple... couple of things with this. Let me just set your mind at ease a little bit. We've discovered that touching is a fairly ineffective way of transmitting this virus. This is good news. So that, you, again, you'll remember at the early stages of the pandemic, we were disinfecting Amazon boxes and things like that. We've discovered that that's not as important as we thought it was, so that's good. I should think that in terms of going back to mask, your bigger risk is not from receiving the host, but from being around possible airborne transmission. And if you're comfortable with that, and that's a decision you have to make for yourself, then I would not think that receiving adds much to it.
It's a great question, though, Patricia. I know a lot of Catholics have that on their mind. And I'm assuming that in this situation that, you know, Patricia's parents would be vaccinated as well. So, again, if you're vaccinated, the message is you should be safe. If you feel comfortable doing it, you should go ahead and do that. Let's go to Mark in Chicago. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you for taking my call. Doctor, I haven't gotten the vaccine, but I had COVID. And I'm wondering, do I need the vaccine?
That's a discussion you should have with your doctor, because I don't know your medical history and I don't know why there would, you know, what would impact it on that. But here's something we have found out, and that is that the people who have had COVID and have an immune response to it, that immune response is a durable one and tends to persist. So that's good news for you in the sense that you've been exposed, you got sick. You should have some level of natural immunity, but whether to add the vaccine on top of that is a question you should really discuss with your doctor.
Yeah, it's a great conversation to have, by the way. Dr. Golder, what's the status of the antibody tests? It's a blood-drawn test, obviously, that is supposed to identify whether or not you have an antibody response to the COVID-19 virus. Are those a pretty good way to measure A, whether or not you've had exposure to it, or B, that your vaccine is working?
The answer is a qualified yes. You have to take it at the right point in time. In other words, even if you've had the virus or the vaccine, it takes a while for the antibodies to show up at a level that you would pick them up in blood, and that's part of the problem we had with knowing that timeline for sure initially on. So the answer is, yeah, it's a qualified yes, but we presume that most people who have had the vaccine will in fact, and I think the numbers are like 95 or 98%, will in fact mount that kind of antibody response. Right. So from the other perspective, it's not necessarily the best use of resources to go testing everybody for antibodies either.
Good point. A very good point. Let's go to Charles in New Jersey. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I got vaccinated. I got the Pfizer vaccine, but in addition to that, I was told by my doctor, I mean, I'm in good health as it is, but to take 5,000 international units of vitamin D, take zinc, take calcium, magnesium, and multivitamins to boost my immune system on top of the vaccine. I mean, that's really something that nobody's really talking about.
Charles,
well, no,
thank
I think
you
that's,
for, yeah.
That's very reasonable because we have found that COVID is much worse in people who have vitamin and mineral deficiencies, so that's good advice from your doctor.
Well, I think, too, Dr. Golder, and again, we're speaking with Dr. Barbara Golder of LadyDocLawyer.com, and taking your calls. We're going to get back to the calls in just a moment, but I mean, that's part of... or at least that's been theorized as to be one of the reasons why there's a certain amount of regionality to this, where in areas of the country and other countries as well, where there's more sunshine, there's more warmth, and people are outdoors more, the people who tend to have higher levels of those types of vitamins, vitamin D, I think I'm speaking specifically here of, who are getting it because they're outdoors and they're in the sun, tend to be a little bit more resistant. That might be one of the reasons why this hasn't reached the same sort of pitch in some of the southern warmer states as it did in the northern colder states.
Yes, exactly. And even their winters are warm by comparison.
Yes.
So people are out a lot more. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're going to be picking apart for the next 10 years to figure out how all these different pieces come into play and to what degree. But we do know that vitamin and mineral deficiencies are a problem for immune systems in general and certainly for COVID immunity. And so whatever we can do to improve that, that's easy and simple, we should do.
Well, I mean, just in general, just in terms of general health, I mean, we should be taking a look at whether or not we're taking in enough vitamins through our natural diets, whether or not we need to supplement them. I mean, if you're healthy and you're taking in all this, supplements might be a bit of gilding the lily. With most vitamins, but not all vitamins, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem. But that's the type of thing that we should be looking at in terms of our general health anyway, right?
Exactly. And studies on populations have found that vitamin D does tend to be one of those vitamins in which large numbers of people are either low or deficient.
All right. I think Linda might not be there, but you know what? I'll just ask Linda's question. She was wondering if what you've heard about the Novavax vaccine and when it's coming out.
Not much, and I don't know.
Same here. Not much, and I don't know either. But it is definitely one of the candidates that's still coming out. And we're not done with this. There's all sorts of things in development. Dr. Barbara Golder, you got 15 seconds. Just give us your wrap up on where we're at right now with COVID-19.
Well, the wrap up is really we have a lot of good news, even in the face of things like the pandemic in India. We've got vaccines, we've got treatments, we're getting new vaccines, we know how to manage this. We're in a totally different place than we were a year and a half ago, and that's cause for rejoicing.
Dr. Barbara Golder from LadyDocLawyer.com, thanks for being with us. I'm Ed Morrissey, filling in for Drew. We'll be right back.
I donate now, and actually, every chance I get, I send people the link to the app.
I'll tell you, it's changed my prayer life.
That is beautiful.
It really has. I'm so grateful to all of you.
Make a tax-deductible donation at relevantradio.com